May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 920. When to worship saints assemble, let the song to Jesus flow. He forsook his ancient glory, groaned and bled for worms below. Ransomed mortals, join to swell the sacred song. Hymn 920.
Thank you. read the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword and has driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbour, and every one said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp thrashing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thrash the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittar tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. I was set in the desert, the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods, yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them. And I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man even among them. And there was no counsellor that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they're all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, do help us to draw nigh unto thee, rightly, in that only way whereby a sinner can draw nigh. Drawn by thy Spirit to Christ. O Lord, do grant it. O we do plead with thee that in the name of thy Son thou hast grant us thy Spirit. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Lord, however we educate it, however we reform it, Lord, it is flesh. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. O Lord, we beg, send thy Spirit even upon us. Lord, we will plead that word concerning thy Son. He is ascended on high, having led captivity captive, and received gifts from men. The Lord, surely one of those gifts is the Spirit. Yea, for the rebellious also. O Lord, this is our only hope. For Lord, thou knowest how rebellious we are. Lord, the least thing, without thy grace, Lord, we rise up against it. The least command, Lord, of thine, we do the opposite. Lord, what thou hast said we must do, we do not. What thou hast said we must not do, We do. And Lord, oh, we do pray to be made different. We do pray, Lord, then, to have thy Spirit, that we may be savingly different. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Lord, that we might be led to Christ. Oh, that we might be endued with his Spirit. Lord, that we might be constrained to take thy yoke upon us. Lord, to be dependent upon thee, to trust in thee, to lean wholly upon thee. Lord, to cleave to thee. For thou art meek and lowly in heart. And we would plead that promise. Lord, yoke us to thyself that we might find rest for our souls. Oh Lord, we pray for that rest that remaineth to the people of God. He that is entered into his rest, he hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Lord, favour us. O blessed Spirit of truth, show us the Lamb. Assure us that the Lamb was slain for us. Lord, that we might enter into that rest. Lord, oh, do grant, we pray, divine realities. Lord, save us from all our superficiality, all our formality. We are beset with it. Deliver us from it. Oh, do give that true, that living faith. Lord, that faith that works by love. And do give that true repentance. That godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, to salvation. Not to be repented of. Lord, that repentance that flows from Calvary. That repentance that thou, Lord Jesus, art exalted to give. And that forgiveness likewise. Oh, we do pray to hear that. Jesus whispers this sweet sentence. Son, thy sins are all forgiven. Lord, give us faith to believe thou art that Jesus. And that thou art able. That we might have the faith that was given the leper. If thou will, thou canst make me clean. There may be that real coming to thee. Lord, oh, it isn't a fleshly coming we need. That is no coming. Oh, it is that movement of the heart by God. Lord, we pray for it. Engage this roving, treacherous heart to fix on Christ the better part, to scorn the trifles of a day for joys that none can take away. And Lord, we pray for godliness with contentment, which is great gain. Lord, we seek for this people once more thy blessing. We seek, Lord, that thy work may yet appear here. The glory of thy great and holy name. The hard cases, Lord. There are none of thy people that aren't hard cases. None of the cases they have are easy ones. They're all hard ones. impossible cases. Lord, wicked natures that will not respond to anything but thy grace to overcome them and instill that new nature and work that grace in the heart that brings the flesh under, according to thy promise to Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. We pray for it, for ourselves, for this people. Lord, and those hard things in our lives. Lord, the mountains. Oh, do give that faith. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. Lord, the death. Lord, thou said, I am the resurrection and the life. Lord, some of us read this morning at home that portion, my dear servant, Mr. Philpott. Lord, perhaps there are those here this evening, and they feel as he put it. They are too dead to be raised. Lord, and they have, through sin, become so dead that they fear they never shall be quickened again. Lord, oh, do grant that faith still to hang upon thee, still to look, though both eyes begin to fail, still to plead the name of him who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Lord, those who have paths that are so difficult to walk in, so contrary to flesh, so irksome to our poor wicked nature. Lord, we pray for that grace needed. And Lord, those that have cases long standing, perhaps as they look back, they hope they began to pray about those cases years ago. And still they wait. Lord, what a wonder it is so. That they have not gone back and walked no more with thee. Lord, to whom shall they go? Help them, Lord. Oh, give that faith even now. They are tempted to go back and ask thee no more concerning this. And seek thy face no more, and beg that forgiveness no more. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Help thy servants, Lord. We again pray for them. Lord, who help us to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Lord, save us from high-mindedness. Lord, no one is in any position rightly to throw any stones. Lord, forgive all our self-righteousness. Cleanse us from it. All our pride, all our impatience, all our fretfulness. Lord, one of old said, I'll speak in his name no more. He also said, thou art altogether a liar to me. Oh, forgive our sins. Lord, may we find it as he did. The fire burning within. Lord, he whom thou dost send forth, he cannot stop speaking. Oh, we do pray for that assurance that we are indeed sent of thee. Lord, help the tempted, the tried. Succour them, Lord. Oh, bring them, blessed Spirit, to that great high priest. Not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Lord, bless thy servants with children. Signs following. Lord, we beg for it. Lord, if this is not done, the churches must die. It is by thy blessing upon the preaching, the word, that thy church is built up. Oh, it is in being brought to Christ, as tomb coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He also as lively stones are built up, spiritual house. Lord, help thy servants to preach Christ and him crucified. Oh, that there might be the building on that blessed foundation. Oh, do lay that foundation well in sinners' hearts, in the revealing of Christ to their heart. Lord, we pray for the afflicted. Heal and strengthen according to thy will. We pray for those under Satan's dominion. Loose thy people, we pray. We pray for those, Lord, in legal bondage. They are thy prisoners, Lord. And Lord, thou dost say, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. Turn to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare I'll render double unto thee. Oh, we do pray, turn the captivity. Turn our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Open our eyes that we may, as the apostle said, see Jesus, made a little lower than the angels of the suffering of death, now crowned with glory and honour at the right hand of God. Lord, we pray for the families again. Have mercy, Lord. We thank thee for the safe deliverance of children, the gift, the fruit of the womb, thy gift. Lord, we pray for parents, thou hast given them grace to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Help them to pray. Help them to read the word to them. Help them, Lord, to speak. Lord, we do pray that there may be that witness. Lord, oh, do not let our flesh prevail. Oh, when it does, we're a stumbling block to the children. Oh, do grant over-prevailing grace that there may be that witness that thou art God, the witness of the truth of the gospel in our lives. Lord, do undertake. We pray for the safe delivery of the unborn children. Grant, Lord, thy blessing, thy bringing through, and Lord, thy spiritual blessing in it. Oh, Lord, we plead for the young. Oh, do keep them in these solemn days. Oh, they are safe who are kept by thee. Every day since the fall, Lord, has been a treacherous day. But as thy word has said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Lord, oh, save our children and us from being deceived and being a deceiver. Oh, Lord, do make us right. Their hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, so we cannot know them, Lord. We cannot therefore correct deceit. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. That will do it, Lord. Let them lead me. Bring me unto thy holy hill. Bless the aged. Oh, Lord, we seek for them that strong consolation, the shining of the sun, light at evening time, and peace in their end. And Lord, the help they need under all the infirmities that bring them down. Comfort those that mourn. Lord, thyself make up the loss, we pray, so that this should be among the all things that work together for good. And do prepare us to stand before thy face. Grant us diligence, and we need it given continually. How quickly we are turned aside, Lord, and think we're going to live forever here below. But Lord, oh, thou dost teach thy people in such a way, as they say, I would not live always. But oh, do give them also, give us also, that blessed hope that Job had given him and maintained even through that fire. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Lord, do grant us that assurance. We thank thee for all thy mercies and benefits, the greatest of which is thy dear Son, thy unspeakable gift, for all thy former helps, Lord, for all that thou hast once done, Lord, for it is a finished work we now desire to plead. We thank thee, Lord, for finishing that work. Oh, my dear God, for sending thy Son to do that, appointing him, forming him. A body hast thou prepared him, Lord, for upholding him, for the freeness and the fullness of that redemption in him. Pardon all we ask wrongly. Kindly make up and give him where we fail to ask. We would plead for Jesus Christ's sake.
Hymn number 975. He comes, the Saviour full of grace, by ancient prophets sown, the smile of mercy on his face, and truth upon his tongue. Hymn 975.
attendance upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, reading verses 14, 15, and 16. Isaiah 41, verses 14, 15, and 16. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I'll make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thrash the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. The Lord formally in this chapter speaks of the way men encourage each other. But now he speaks to his own people like this, but thou Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend. And he deals with his seed, his chosen, in such a way as only he can encourage them. Why? Oh, they have things that no man can encourage them concerning. Oh, thou afflicted, he says, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Oh, where we find one in that condition, we are finding the work of the Holy Spirit in the preparation for this that he speaks here. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Jacob, supplanter, deceiver. The Lord makes his people to know their name. What is thy name? He said to that man. My name is Legion. We are many. And to Jacob he said, what is thy name? Jacob. And he gave him a new name. A new name. Israel. For as a prince, although poor Jacob, you are a supplanter, a deceiver. Though your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, I have redeemed thee, Jacob. I have purchased thee with the precious blood of my son. Thou art mine. I give thee my son. In him Thou hast that new name as a prince, a son of God, through the Son. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. As a prince hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. But he speaks here, thou worm Jacob. The work of the Spirit upon his people is to bring them down. That is to make them know their true condition before God. And it is only grace that can make us a worm. Though we are worms, creatures of the earth, buried cysts crawling in and out the earth, yet we don't realise it unless we're given the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where a person is really, feelingly a worm, grace has made them so. Remember Psalm 22, the words of the dear Redeemer,
He says, but I am a worm and no man. And shall the Redeemer say that? And his people not be brought to say it? Why was the Redeemer a worm and no man? Because he was bearing the sins of his people. Because he was paying that great debt they owed. 500 pence debtors. And the Saviour said, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. How? The dear incarnate, almighty, infinite Son of God, manifest in the flesh, was made a worm. And if he give you his grace, you'll feel to be a worm. Defenseless. Oh, my dear friend. What a solemn thing to feel you have in yourself no defence. It's true, you don't. You don't have one weapon of defence of yourself. You are, because of sin, complete weakness. Why? You don't have the defence of wisdom. You're a fool. You don't have the defence of strength. This matter of sin, do you have any strength against it? The guilt you've contracted, can you, by anything you do, put that guilt away? This sin that is continually working in your nature, do you have in you any power, even will, to subdue it? These temptations of the devil, you're often first in them, aren't you? Satan's image born. Oh, these foes, whoever they be. Oh, my dear friend. That last great foe that we must each face. Oh, how this brings home the complete defenselessness. And yet that is only by grace. Men without grace die. And even then they don't realise what a worm they are. They either die careless of what a solemn thing it is to die, or they die defiant against the God who perhaps they know they must face. Or they die in self-righteousness, believing that God will not send such a good person as they think themselves to be to hell. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Oh, then, this one, a worm cannot stand up, can it? It's a crawling thing. Oh, what a mercy if grace is given us to cause us to fall down, to fall before the Lord, not to stand like the Pharisee in the parable. He stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, I'm not as other men are. It's in us, my dear friend, it's in us. If it's ever subdued, if it's ever conquered, if we're ever brought to the posture of that other man, he stood afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all of the grace of God. But that's what we must be brought to. And that's the worm in the text. Worm Jacob. And then the realization. The worm feeds on corruption, doesn't it? my soul, this trembling house of clay, must quickly fall to worms of prey, and thou return to God. Job said, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. Oh, the realization of what a corruption-eating thing I am. Oh, my wretched nature goes after sin, lusts after sin. Oh, the child of God that's made to feel it, to realize that this is what my flesh feeds upon. It can have no higher appetite. The flesh never will have an higher appetite than after sin. Or it may be all manner of sins. And you may be able by reformation to turn from gross outward sin to religious sins. But they're still sins. It's still corruption. Worm Jacob. For the Lord says, fear not, thou worm Jacob. Fear not. The particular thing then about this worm that is addressed here is his fears. Because when he's defenseless, as I said, he fears he's going to be consumed because he's defenseless. As I said, that sin, he cannot defend himself before God against concerning that sin. He cannot put this forward and that forward to defend himself against God. So what does he fear? He fears that God will consume him. He realizes that if God deal with him justly, he must consume him. Now to that fear, God says, fear not. Fear not. I spoke of that lack of defense because the sinner doesn't have the wisdom. Oh, my dear friend, do you fear because of what you don't know? Do you, are those here this evening fearing because you don't know Christ? Fearing because you don't know the power of his blood on your conscience? Fearing because you don't know in your soul's experience justification? You don't have that blessed righteousness upon you? The Lord says, fear not. And those of you that have enemies, mountains in your path, and you cannot make those mountains a plain, you cannot get over them. You know you cannot get around them because the Lord has put them in your path. And when the Lord puts a mountain in a person's path, he doesn't leave a way round it. He didn't with the Israelites, did he, when he brought them to the Red Sea? Are there those of you here tonight, and there isn't a way round? And at the moment you can't see a way through. Fear not, worm Jacob. Fear not. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. Fear not, worm Jacob. And ye men of Israel. So the word isn't spoken only to Jacob before he receives his blessing at the brook Jabbok. It isn't only spoken to Jacob before he sees Christ. God face to face, and his life is preserved. He's spoken to Israel. You see, when Jacob received that blessing at the brook Jabbok, it didn't make him any less dependent upon God. And this is a lesson which the Lord will teach his people. And he'll teach that lesson this way. If they try to get to the end of their journey just on what the Lord has previously said to them and done to them, they'll find it hard going. This is something which we are beset with. And it is one thing which appears, if I have any discernment at all, something which we as a people are particularly beset with in this day in which the Holy Spirit is so solemnly withheld. Day by day the manna fell. But, my dear friend, what must it be? What really brings us to need manna today? When the Lord makes us to prove that yesterday's manna breeds worms and stinks. Yesterday's deliverance won't deliver me today. Yesterday's glimpse of Christ won't do for me today. Yesterday's word won't do for me today. The life I live in the flesh, says Paul. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He didn't live on his call by grace on the road to Damascus. He didn't live on that revelation he once had. He lived on Christ now. And how are you going to live on Christ now? If God in mercy puts fears in your heart, a hunger in your soul, guilt on your conscience, enemies facing you, deliverance needed, and brings you to cry unto him, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And then if he say to you, Israel tonight, ye men of Israel, fear not, fear not. You know, there's really nothing to be ashamed of. To be a fearful sinner. The sin is to be ashamed of. And the fears, we might speak of them, yes, as being a sinful infirmity, and yet there is a gracious fearing. What I mean when I say there's nothing to be ashamed of, if there is this fear, well, if there was something to be ashamed of it, would the Lord say, fear not? What I mean is this. Oh, if you fear, and that fear brings you to Christ, how infinitely preferable that is, because it is the work of grace. That's why it's infinitely preferable. Infinitely preferable to that presumption in which the sinner doesn't fear. And you see, we can't know more of Christ but through knowing our need of him more. Newton says in his hymn, doesn't he ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace? More of his salvation, no. And like a fool, we think he's going to answer us in such a comfortable way. But he cannot. I am a worm and no man, and you must come down. You must be brought down by his grace. as a beggar. I've often said this, the last time a sinner ventures on Christ will be in substance the same as the first time they venture on him. A guilty, weak and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength, my righteousness, my Jesus and my all. Now this is not necessarily denying what the Lord has previously done for you. No. Many times we find in the Psalms and in other places where the Lord's people have recorded by the Spirit's inspiration their longings for God, their thirstings after him. They don't in those longings and thirstings and petitions for his visitation, they don't deny that he's visited them before. In fact, as the Lord helps them, they are enabled to plead those former visits, plead those former deliverances. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. Fear not, thou worm Jacob and ye men of Israel, I will help thee. Oh, what a word. Now, if the Lord really say to you, I will help thee, that will take away the fear. Who is it that says, I will help thee? I am that I am. He is strength. He is righteousness. He is love. He is mercy. He is wisdom. He is grace. He is life. I am that I am. I, the Almighty. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I will help thee. Oh, what a great thing it is to be thus spoken to by God and to be brought by that word of the Lord to trust in him. What a quietening thing that is. Thou keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And how does he trust in him? God gives him a word to trust upon. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. I will help thee. This help of God. Oh, I must try and limit my remarks, and I would in respect to this help, in connection with that word in another, in a psalm which says, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. I've chosen one, exalted one out of the people, his own dear son. I will help thee. God sending his son willingly, obediently, delighting to come, forming him, that perfect, holy humanity, causing him to take it into union with himself. I will help thee. That worm that can't defend himself, God sending his son to defend him. Oh, behold, the Lord said to Abraham, didn't he? I am thy shield. Now, God could not be Abraham's shield, but through his dear son, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Oh, that help that God grants his people in the person and work of his son. I will help thee. That law, poor sinner, that thou hast broken in every part, that law which thou canst not keep, I will help thee. I'll require my son. I'll make him man. What he was before, he's ceasing not to be what he was before. Oh, that he should be under that law, that I should require of him that obedience, and he be able to render that obedience. Being man, he's under the law. Being God, he's able to keep it. He's able to fulfill it. His law, the law of God in his heart. The defense then. But all that sentence of the law, I will help thee. My son shall bear that sentence. I, the Almighty God, will help thee. Again, he must be man to be under that sentence. He must be God to be able to sustain it in such a way as in giving his life, he truly bore that sentence, paid that price. In shedding that precious blood, the blood of the Son of God, redeeming his worm Jacob, I will help thee. Oh, that defenseless worm. I mentioned, did I not, how defenseless we are against Satan. I will help thee. Giving his people unto his son. Then when his son is made man, and in the appointed day as the Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights, and his people were in him. They were in him, in that blessed man who was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Lord Jesus suffered being tempted. The temptation actually came to him. But he stood with divine power against it. And his people in him, he was their shield against that temptation. Now, how will they be helped with regard to this? In their fight here below against the devil, I will help thee. We must speak now of the Holy Spirit. I will help thee. Worm Jacob, fleshly, I'll give thee my Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth. He who quickened this sinner so that they became a worm. He who convinced this sinner of their sin. He who makes this sinner to feel the grief of temptation, to realise the dreadfulness of temptation and realise their vulnerability to it, and gives them that longing to be delivered from it. The Spirit points out to them Christ. Oh, now here's the defence from this poor sinner, this worm who hasn't the wisdom to believe in Christ. Who hasn't the wisdom to flee to Christ. Who hasn't the wisdom to trust in him. Who cannot, however hard he tries, get to Christ. The Spirit is given. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord is the Holy Ghost. The standard is Christ. And unless the Spirit of the Lord lift up the standard, there's no defense against the devil. You won't get any defense against the devil merely by reading that Jesus stood against him in the wilderness. But if the Spirit point him out to you, if the Spirit lift him up, what is the effect? Your soul believes on him. And there is the victory. As John wrote, this is the victory over the world, even our faith. And as Paul exhorts, oh, but how can a poor worm fight? Oh, this poor worm, Jacob. Well, how did Jacob fight? Go back to the brook Jabbok. Look how he tried to fight. Split his company into two bands. Send presents over to appease his brother. The Lord stops him. Wrestles with him. Fear not, worm Jacob. I will help thee. Oh, the poor sinner here tonight. Oh, that I could wrestle like Jacob did. Remember, Jacob didn't start the wrestling. Nor did he continue it. And nor did he do it in his own strength. I will help thee. A man wrestled with him. Till the breaking of the day. Let me go, for the day breaketh. I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. Touch the hollow of his thigh and enable Jacob to hang upon him. That was how the wrestling continued. Oh, and this is how God helps his Jacobs. Oh, my dear friend, has he touched the hollow of your thigh yet? Has he taken away the last bit of strength? My strength is made perfect in weakness, he said. I will help thee. I will help. This help is freely given. Oh, that word, I think I may have quoted it, or a word similar to it, but there's that word you know in the book of the Revelation. Let him take the water of life freely. Oh, what a stumbling block we need taken up out of the way. All for the Spirit to do it. When God says, I will help thee. And you see, when he says, I will help thee, he says he'll help them freely. Not because you deserve it. Not because you've prayed so much. Not because you've got such strong desires. No, he's talking to the worm. Not because you've got legs to stand on. Not because there's any goodness in you. Not because you're such a spiritually minded person so that you feed only on spiritual things. No, I will help thee freely. Freely. Without respect. To persons. Oh, you see, if God had respect to persons, Jacob wouldn't be helped, would he? The man who deceives his own father and brother? No. Oh, without respect of persons, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Saith the Lord. Just one thing, one or two things concerning that. Who it is that saith it? The Lord. Now this is God making himself known in the person of his Son. He does so in the Old Testament as well as in the New. Although of course there is a fuller, clearer manifestation of it in the word of the New Testament. But how he is in the whole of the scripture. And we read of that point where men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, but you see, it's because the Lord made himself known as a prayer-hearing, merciful, gracious God. I believe I quoted this afternoon Martin Luther's words. He said, oh, we as poor sinners, oh, there's no way we can have to do with an absolute God. It must be through the mediator. It must be through him who is God, who is the express image of God, who is man, the God-man. One God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And that's the channel through which every blessing has come down to the church of God from Adam's day to this, when the seed of the woman was promised to bruise the serpent's head, saith the Lord. The Lord, but it speaks of the way the Lord brings his worm Jacob's to have to know the Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The real venture by faith unto Almighty God, believing that in his mouth are the words of salvation. In his lips, oh, in his precious veins is that precious blood that puts away sin. Oh, in his hand are those blessings, redemption, justification, sanctification, quickening, cleansing, renewing, reviving, resurrecting, justifying, glorifying, delivering, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, thy Redeemer. You see, you cannot feelingly be worm Jacob and not know your need of redemption. God makes it known to you as he deals with you in such a way as makes you feel a worm. Oh, to be in a condition you can't buy yourself out of, a condition you've brought yourself into, worm Jacob. Oh, Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Thou hast sold thyself for naught. Thou shalt be redeemed without money, your money, without price. Redeemed with the precious blood of Emmanuel. For as much as ye know, says Peter, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thy Redeemer, thy Redeemer. You see, there is no help without redemption. There is no salvation without redemption. The sin has been committed, and there is always a cost connected with sin. You will never sin cheaply. If he is not your Redeemer, oh, my dear friend, may that not be the solemn portion of anyone here, not to have Christ as their Redeemer, if it be the Lord's holy will. But if he is not, how can that sin be cheap for which you will suffer forever and ever in hell? But the child of God doesn't sin cheaply either. Ask David about it. Ask Jonah about it. Ask Jacob about it. But when I speak like this, I'm not in any way suggesting that the sufferings, the things that those men and you and I, child of God, have to suffer through our sin, I'm not suggesting in any way that they are redeeming things. What is the purpose of those sufferings that the Lord's people suffer? The fear, the guilt, the darkness, the terror, the distress, the wrath of God in their conscience, the hiding of his face, Jonah in the belly of hell. This purpose of in it is firstly to show them in some measure what a heinous thing their sin is, but to bring them to him who paid the full price thereof. Yet will I look again, says Jonah, toward thy holy temple. What did that holy temple, what was the price that holy temple set forth for the redemption of sinners? in those lambs and beasts that were sacrificed, life given, the flesh burnt on the altar, the blood taken and by the priest into the holiest of all. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. This is the redemption price. Your Redeemer. With regard to the redemption of Israel from their enemies, natural, God says, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. For them to be delivered from Egypt, Egypt must be overthrown. For them to be delivered from sin, sin must be overthrown. Overthrown by the sacrifice of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. Overthrown as the Saviour fought and conquered sin, though he fell. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Thy Redeemer. He, the one who pays the price. He alone who could pay the price. Oh, the love of the Redeemer. The grace of the Redeemer. The faithfulness of the Redeemer. The sufficiency of the Redeemer. But then, the applier of the redemption. Because Israel and Jacob, what is the thing they fear? One of the things they fear. The redemption isn't mine. They, by the teaching of the Spirit, are brought at points in their experience to truly believe that redemption is by Jesus Christ, that it was his precious blood that redeemed the church. But what do they fear? It wasn't shed for them. They're not redeemed. That Christ isn't their redeemer. Fear not, worm Jacob. Now, my dear friend, this is one of those fears that I was speaking of earlier, of which the Lord's people need not be ashamed. Doesn't Philpott say, the best thing is to have an assurance of redemption by Jesus' precious blood. The next best thing is to have that fear by which the sinner is found hungering and thirsting, pleading for it, wanting it. Thy Redeemer, I will help thee. You can't believe. You know you need faith. But you're a worm who can't believe. I will help thee. I will help thee because I can give faith. It must come from me. I am the faith-giving Redeemer. That redemption, it put away the sins of the church, including the sin of unbelief, and made that way for those graces of the Lord Jesus Christ, faith, repentance, love, hope, to flow down. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to give repentance unto Israel and remission of sins. And thy Redeemer, oh, help thee then. Oh, whisper, thou art mine. I will say, fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Now you know, my dear friend, if we were more blessed with grace, that we were more worm-like, we should get this blessing. This blessing that is so scarce in the day in which we live. The blessed assurance of the Spirit, the blessed assurance from Jesus' own mouth, I have redeemed thee. But you see, the way to that blessing is to be made a worm. I'm really on the same ground I was this afternoon. The woman at the Saviour's feet. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. You who are high up in the tree of lofty doctrines, you must come down and say it and feel it and say to the Lord, Lord, I know nothing. I have nothing. These doctrines I have in my head, Lord, they are no use. Lord, I know nothing rightly. Lord, I don't know that I'm born again. Lord, I don't fear to have any faith. Lord, I'm nothing but sin. But Lord, save me or I perish. I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Oh, this worm that is so unholy needs holiness. Remember what the apostle said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. This worm, oh, if you're found really before God, in any measure having revealed to you God and yourself before him, you'll feel to be such a filthy worm, unholy throughout. But the Holy One speaks, the Holy One of Israel. Now, surely the meaning of that, the Holy One of Israel, is he is the holiness of Israel. The hymn writer put it like this, that we're unholy needs no proof. We sorely feel no the fall, but Christ has holiness enough to sanctify us all. Now he says he's the only one, the Holy One, the Holy One. Did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise? Yes, yes. The Holy Son of God, he did come down, that his holiness might come down to worms. When he became a worm for his people, when he made his grave with the wicked, when he stood in their law place room instead, when he bore their sins, when he submitted himself to the sword of divine justice, having in his holy life perfectly obeyed that law. All the holiness in that blood. The holiness, that righteousness wrought, finished. It is finished, he said. To make an end of sin, to bring in an everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy. The Holy One of Israel. The gift of it. Oh, how will he help them with his holiness? He'll reveal his Son to them. In the revelation of his Son, his people become holy. There's a reflection of himself in them. There's a cleansing. There's the first effect of that holiness. Washing. Softening. Oh, that holy grace of repentance, meekness, that holy grace of faith, that holy grace of love, that holy grace of hope, that holy grace of submission, the Holy One. What is his word then to these unholy worms? I will help thee. Oh, the wonder of it. He does not set his worm to make themselves holy. He saith to them, come to me in all your unholiness. And the worm says, Lord, I can't come to thee. That's my trouble. I will draw thee. I will help thee. You can't come. Lift up your eye and plead, Lord, come to me. Bring to me, Lord, thy holiness. The Holy One of Israel. Behold, I'll make thee a new sharp thrashing instrument having teeth. This is the gospel. A new sharp thrashing instrument. You know what a thrashing instrument is? It separates the chaff from the wheat. Oh, only the gospel separates the Lord's people unto Almighty God. The chaff is your flesh, the dross. The gospel separates the soul of the child of God from their flesh. It separates the work of God from the work of the flesh, and only the gospel can do it. But then we might speak of it with regard to the food. Why do men thrash wheat, barley, or whatever it is? To feed upon the corn, the flour as it is ground from the corn. Oh, wherein alone can a poor child of God feed? But by this, being given this new thrashing instrument. Why that gospel that brings to them the blessed flesh and blood of Emmanuel, brings to them that bread of life. And it's that gospel that separates. You see, we've got a lot of religion. It's not all good. The Lord says, I'll bring the third part through the fire. What will do it? Will the law separate the good from the bad? No, cannot. The Lord will reveal the bad, but he won't separate the bad. He has no good to bring. I'll make thee a new sharp thrashing instrument. Oh, when the Lord, by giving prayer, the prayer of faith, that's a new sharp thrashing instrument. When a poor sinner is through the power of the gospel, and you know there's no prayer really that will bring down to a poor sinner food for his soul, but that prayer that flows to the sinner through the gospel. When the mercy seat is set before him in the gospel, when the Saviour's name is proclaimed, when his blood is proclaimed, when that high priest is preached to him, and to whom he may approach, when that sacrifice is set before him that he may plead, when those promises, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What a new sharp thrashing instrument. And it's new every time it is given. Behold, I make all things new. By prayer, he obtains a blessing. Now, one thing that was on my mind regarding this thrashing instrument and the separation is regarding the trials and tribulations, the troubles that a child of God passes through. Now, you'll never get any profit out of those things, but as the Lord gives you this new sharp thrashing instrument. The apostle says, we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But how is it? If there are those here this evening and you've proved, can you say we know that all things work together for good? Well, how did you know it? How did you know it? Did it just happen? It did just happen in one sense, yes. But there was a course that the Lord followed in causing it happen. It was one thing after another happening. No chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Worm Jacob. Oh, in this, under this chastening, the thrashing instrument. Oh, how can good come out of this chastening? How can good come out of this sorrow that is laid upon me? It's not that the trouble is going to find some good in me somewhere. No, it's that God is going to use the trouble to bring you to Him who is goodness. The chastening. And the sinner is brought to be a worm under it. You know, when we see a chastened person and they're given by grace a worm-like spirit, not rising up against the chastening, not justifying themselves, but brought by grace to bow under it. And when there's some trouble in front of somebody or with them now, and they're not saying, I've done nothing to deserve this, but saying by grace, I've done all that to deserve much more than this. And when we find one not saying all in a glib way, oh, the Lord is faithful, I should get out of this. But when we're hearing one say, like the psalmist did, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We're finding a worm Jacob being helped by his God. I'll make thee a new sharp thrashing instrument. Because you see, the thing that the Lord chastens you about is your lack of holiness, your sin. These worms are brought concerning everything that the Lord lays upon them, eventually to see, to trace it back to their sin. Now what's the new sharp thrashing instrument? Oh, the gospel. A vile sinner may plead the precious blood of Jesus. A vile sinner with nothing but sin may come to Him who saith, when they had nothing to pay, He frankly forgave them both. I'll make thee a new sharp thrashing instrument, having teeth. And those teeth are every single truth concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His finished work, His righteousness. Every single word that the Lord speaks is one of those teeth in that sharp thrashing instrument, and they are sharp teeth. His righteousness will prevail against all the unrighteousness of His people. His blood will prevail over all their sins. His strength will prevail over all the strength of the devil. His love will prevail over all the enmity of man. New sharp thrashing instrument having teeth, thou shalt thrash the mountains. So you see, it doesn't just happen. Thou shalt thrash the mountains. But they're not that the sinner is doing anything of themselves, but God is working in them. You see, it is not gracious for us to say, oh, I can't do anything, I'm helpless. And lie there. That's not where the Lord leaves His people. They won't be saved there, will they? I think it's James Bourne who says, oh, what a solemn thing when flesh gets hold of that word, without me he can do nothing. But what is it? It's not a solemn thing when the heart gets hold of it by faith. Without me he can do nothing. Because what does the heart say then? Lord, leave me not without thee. And so you go in that name and thrash those mountains. The worm that thrashes the mountains on his knees. The worm with no strength of his own, strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You say, oh, I'm not. No, but the Lord says he'll make his people strong. Strengthen with might by his spirit in the inner man. Thou shalt thrash the mountains. That mountain before you this evening, sinner. If you are but given this sharp thrashing instrument, no matter what that mountain is. Was there anything that Jesus didn't overcome for his people? He overcame death. He overcame sin. He overcame Satan. He overcame the world. He overcame death. He overcame men. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Then that mountain this evening, sinner. If the Lord give you this thrashing instrument. Oh, the mountain of your untowardness. Oh, to plead with God through Christ to overcome it. The mountain of your unwillingness. My people should be willing. Thy people, says the psalm actually. Thy people should be willing in the day of thy power. That power that is pulled down from heaven, if I may put it like that. I hope I speak reverently by the prayers of the Lord's people. You know, that man, we read, don't we, in the Gospels, that man, he was given this new sharp thrashing instrument. He had a mountain. He was blind. But he heard that Jesus passed by. Now you've heard that tonight. But if the Lord give you this new sharp thrashing instrument, you won't let him pass by. But you can't prevail with him by saying, Lord, come and save me because I've got such strong desires, because I'm not as bad as other men. I've got this nice feeling in my heart. No. How did he stop Jesus? He prayed the prayer of the sharp thrashing instrument. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. And Jesus stood still and called him to him and said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Lord, that I might receive my sight. It's the giving of faith then. Thou shalt thrash the mountains and beat them small and make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them and the wind shall carry them away and the whirlwind shall scatter them. Oh, my dear friend, when by faith the Lord's people are given a victory, a victory over the mountain of themselves, and self is scattered. I am crucified with Christ. Oh, to know it. You who know what Rutherford meant when he said, oh, that I'd not of myself. Well, you'll never get rid of self in any other way but by the Lord giving you this sharp thrashing instrument, and beg with the Lord, Lord, come and crucify me with thyself. Lord, if thou wouldst lead me by faith to Calvary, Lord, then I would be crucified with thee. Then this mountain of self will be thrashed and it will be scattered. It would be carried away in the wind. And this trouble this trouble in my life. You know, the Lord, he has a way of coming and so appearing and so manifesting himself to a person and so blessing a person in their trouble that though they're still in the trouble, it's like a mountain or a hill that is scattered. And what is it? It's the appearing of the Lord. You're still in the trouble, but because the Lord has appeared, the trouble is scattered. And oh, my dear friend, what mountains we have in the Church of God today. I mentioned in prayer Philpott's piece this morning in one of the Portions books. Oh, we're not in that place he describes there. And oh, how often we despair of us ever being revived again. Oh, personally and as churches, fear not, worm Jacob. It will be when the Lord makes us worms. It will be when the Lord puts us on our knees, spiritually speaking. It will be when the Lord speaks like this and gives us a new sharp thrashing instrument and the mountain. Oh, he has but to speak, and it will be done. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. Yes, this is the end of it. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in his goodness. Rejoice in that love. Rejoice in that grace. Rejoice in the freeness and the fullness. Rejoice in the Lord. Now these are real deliverances. There may be an application of this. There certainly is in providential deliverances. It's certainly included in it. But you see, oh, when the Lord's people are given this new sharp thrashing instrument, and by the grace of God prevail with God, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The sweetest part is not the actual deliverance. The sweetest part is the deliverer. If it's a providential gift, the sweetest part is the giver of that gift. He is the gift. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. To glory in him. You get a glimpse of his glory that enables you to glory in him. It's only a tiny glimpse. But you glory in him, in worshipping him. You glory in him. Oh, these love is appearing. They glory in him, in praising him. So will we render the cause of our lips. They glory in him as they're enabled to tell. To sinners round, what a dear Saviour they have found. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. What has he done? He brought me up out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto the Lord. And shall glory in the Holy One, a holy glorying. If you glory, it's by him, and therefore it must be a holy glorying. Oh, when that grace is given to give him all the glory. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us worms. But unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Glory in the Holy One, Christ. You see, that's the thing. That's the person. This is it. those deliverances that begin and are carried on and end in Christ. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Show me thy glory, said Moses. There's a place by me that shall stand upon a rock. I'll put thee in a cliff to the rock. Cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And glory in the Holy One of Israel. Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Let us close by singing hymn 982. It is finished. Sinners hear it. 'Tis the dying victor's cry. It is finished. Angels bear it. Bear the joyful truth on high. It is finished. Tell it through the earth and sky. Hymn 982.
It is finished.
O Lord, do forgive all that has been amiss. Do bless thine own word, we thank thee for it. May it remain with us. Help us to plead it. Do watch over us each and keep us each safe. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy